Thank you for joining us. We're going to Be'ez Hashem to go through the halachas of the Seder. This is an extension of the daily halacha program, which we have a daily shiur, audio shiur, on various halacha topics. Before Yom Tovim, we discuss about the Yom Tovim, and during the rest of the year, we're using the Chai Adam as a basis to discuss many different halachas. But we decided, together with the audio shiur, the preparation for the Seder, which we put on the archives from last year. We're also going to do an extra video shiur to see if we can help you understand more clearly the various halachas of the Seder, how to apply them practically, l'maisa. Thank you for joining us. So we're going to start with the positioning of the Ka'ora, and there are different minhagim in regards to the positioning of the Ka'ora. The standard minhag which we follow is the minhag of the Rizal, which puts the Zeruya on the upper right and the Bey on the upper left. Then you have, all the way over to the left, you're going to have what you're going to be using for Karpas. You're going to have the Morer actually a little bit above that, in the middle, the Karpas on the left, and the Karosis on the right, and then the Chazeris, which you also use for Morer, on the bottom. Now, the Ka'ora is supposed to be actually what the person is going to be eating from. So a person should use the Chazeris, which is on the Ka'ora, for the purpose of using for Morer. He should use the Karpas on the Ka'ora for the purpose of Karpas. He should use the Karosis on the Ka'ora for the purpose of Karosis. And actually, the person should eat the egg. The Mishnah says we use it for a mitzvah. To then to discard it afterwards would not be appropriate. A person should eat the egg during the meal. A person could eat the egg. You cannot eat the zeruya during the meal because roasted meat cannot be eaten during Pesach by the Seder, because it would look like you're trying to eat from the Korban Pesach. But it can be eaten the next day. So a person preferably should not discard it. A person should eat it. A person wants to keep it for both nights, he could do so and then eat it the following day. Besides that, we're also going to need some salt water, which we're dipping the karpas into, and then we're going to different sized kosos, which we're going to use for the dalet kosos. Moving on from that, we move on to the first step of the Seder is Kadesh. There's a minhag some people have to say out beforehand the 15 simonim of the Seder, Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, etc. And some people have a minute before they get to each step to speak out, say what the step is. That's not required. That some people have such a minute. The halacha brings down the person should have their table set before. But by daytime, so when he comes home to start the Seder, he can start the Seder immediately, and the children shouldn't get bored. And we want to do the mitzvah of the night is to have the children involved, speaking to them, etc. So we want the children to stay awake. So we want to have the table set so they can start. We can start the Seder immediately, so the children can be involved. So the first step of the Seder is Kadesh. So the mitzvah is to say Kiddush, which is the mitzvah we have in every Yom Tov, Shabbos and every Yom Tov. We also have, besides that, it's one of the Dalet Kosos. So a person will have two things in mind when he has in mind to fulfill the mitzvah. We have a concept called Mitzvah Sichos Kavana. A person should have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah. So what mitzvah is he having in mind? He's having in mind two mitzvahs. He's having in mind the mitzvah of Kiddush, of Yom Tov, the first kos, and he's also having in mind for the first of the Dalet Kosos. When a person makes Kiddush, the requirement of the cup should hold a revius. That's the first step. We have to figure out how large a revius is. And interestingly enough, there are different calculations how to figure out how large a revius is. But since the first cup this year is Friday night, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to say Kiddush on Friday night. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says when we come to measuring the revius for Friday night, we have to use a larger revius than we're going to use for all of the four other kosos. So really, a person can use a larger cup for the first kos and then switch to a smaller cup for the second kos. So the first kos, because it's d'oraisa, we're going to say we're going to use a larger calculation for the revius. How large does it have to be? So according to Moshe Feinstein, that shear should be 4.4 fluid ounces. So this cup holds 5 fluid ounces. So we would fill that cup all the way up to the top. And the person wants to fill the cup all the way up to the top. The kos should be mole. Now, in regards to drinking the kos, so there's something unique about the night of the Seder, more than the rest of the year. In general, a person has a kos of mitzvah, the kos has to hold a revius, but besides the kos holding revius, the amount the person has to drink is what's called mole lugmov. Mole lugmov is a personal measurement based on the person's a cheekful, one cheekful. The assumption is that it's at least a majority of a revius, possibly more if the person is larger, not less than that. Okay, so that person only has to drink of a revius. That's the smaller revius that person has to drink. So we calculate a smaller revius as being 3 ounces. So a person has to drink 1.6 ounces, and that's enough. By the night of the Seder, however, it's preferred that a person should drink the whole kais. And if not the whole kais, at least the majority of the kais. So the larger your kais is going to be, the more you're going to have to drink. We prefer the person should use wine. And the person also has the mitzvah to mekayim the mitzvahs of the Seder. So we don't want them imbibing so much wine, so don't use such a large cup. So it's preferable to use the cup which is the right size, but not larger. So therefore, a person will use the first cup, he will use a cup which holds 4.5 ounces, and that would be sufficient. And then afterwards, the second cup and onwards, he can use a smaller cup, a cup which holds 3 ounces. Originally, Moshe Feinstein was on record to say that the calculation was 3.3 ounces, and afterwards, his son, Reb David Feinstein, revised that and said that the shear of 2.9 ounces is sufficient for the second kais. So it's not very large. This is the amount that a person would want to drink, use for the second kais and onwards. It's very easy that a person can fulfill the concept of drinking the whole kais. When a person takes this very large cup that he got as a present, you know, from his tanta, you know, and it's 10 ounces, that's not a smart idea, because then you should be drinking 10 ounces. So we want to try and use the right size and not more than that. Okay. And any other year where Pesach does not fall out Friday night, the Seder, or the second night this year, Motzi Shabbos, then your person can use a smaller cup for all four kaises. Okay? When the person says Kiddush, he should have in mind, when he says to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush and the mitzvah of the Dalet Kaises, a person should have in mind when he says the Shechiyonu, which we say in the Kiddush, not only for the Yom Tov, which we say Shechiyonu on the Yom Tov, which is what we always do, but besides that, on the mitzvahs of the nighttime, which I mean, this would be the Dalet Kaises, the mitzvah of Matzah, the mitzvah of Morer, and the mitzvah of Haggadah. So we have the mitzvah and the mitzvah of Hallel. So we have the mitzvah of Matzah, Morer, Dalet Kaises, Haggadah, and Hallel. 5 mitzvahs the person will have in mind when he says the Shechiyonu at that point in time. When the person drinks the Dalet Kaises, the person should drink it by Haseva. Now, I want to point something out about Haseva. If a person sits in a chair which does not have an armrest, so if a person has a chair with an armrest, he's going to be supported when he leans. If a person sits in a chair without an armrest, which sometimes that's the truth, that's the chair you're given, so if a person leans like this, the person will not fulfill the mitzvah of Haseva because he's not being supported. He's in the air. That's not Haseva. So a person would have to turn himself towards the back of the chair to be supported. Preferably, a person should have a pillow with him, so a person could do like this, and then it's much easier at that point in time to actually drink the kais when he's being supported like that. So the seva has to be something which is comfortable. It's not comfortable. It cannot be cheris. So a person should have a pillow, but a person should make sure that they're sitting in either a chair with an armrest and leaning on the armrest, or they're sitting in a chair. They're turning themselves towards the back of the chair. What should you use for the dalet kaises? Preferably, you should use something which has alcohol content. Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal held that there, besides the regular halacha of Kiddush, which does not require alcohol content, by the night of the Seder, there's an inyan of cheirus. The more talks about this should show freedom, and that usually means a person eats something which would be intoxicating, drinking something which would be intoxicating. So it has to have alcohol content. Other poskim disagree with him and hold that person can use regular grape juice, but if a person could use wine, a person should use wine. If a person finds difficulty using straight wine, he could mix the wine with grape juice, and that would also be sufficient. Preferably, the color of the wine should be red, and we find the pasuk says that red wine is considered more choshev, unless you would have, and where you are, only the white wines are more choshev than the red wines, then you should use a white wine. According to Rav Avadya Yosef, even in that situation, a person should use a red wine. Preferably, even in that situation, a person should use a red wine. A person cannot drink between the first cup and the second cup unless he had intent to drink at that point in time when he made the Kiddush. So a person is a person who has some type of health issue and he must drink during the Haggadah to help him say the Haggadah. A person should have in mind when he says the Kiddush that he's planning to have drinking water during the Haggadah period. even in that situation, a person should not preferably drink wine or something which could be used for the mitzvah of Kiddush. A person should preferably drink water, something of that sort. If a person is weak and a person would want to eat something after Kiddush, he may do so. That's only if somebody who has a need to do so. The women are chayiv in the mitzvah of dalet kosis, just like men. And children are also chayiv. What age are the children chayiv from? From the time that we can speak to them about the mitzvah of the Seder, and they'll understand it. So probably the age of 5 or 6, a child would be considered chayiv in the mitzvah of Haggadah and the Seder. The size of the cup the child has to use has to hold a revius. You can use a smaller size revius for that purpose, but the child will drink a mole lugma of himself. So a cheekful of a child is much smaller. An ounce worth would probably be sufficient for that age to be considered that the child has enough. Normally, only one person says Kiddush, only one person has the kois. Here we're going to have, by the night of the Seder, everybody's going to have their own kois. So everybody should hold their kois. Even only one person is saying the Kiddush, everybody should hold their kois while the one who's saying the Kiddush will be saying the Kiddush. After Kaddish comes Urchatz. A person has to wash his hands in order to eat the karpas. So normally, during the year, some people are not makbid on washing for something which is dipped in liquid, other than bread. We wash for bread. We also wash an alacha for something which is dipped into a mashke. During the year, some people are not makbid on it, but at least on the night of the Seder, everybody's going to be makbid on that halacha. We're going to wash again before the Suda. We're going to make a bracha then. So how do we make a bracha then the second time when we just washed earlier with a valid form of washing? So the Prima Gadim says the person should have in mind that this washing, which he's doing now, does not work for the meal. And the Mishnah Berurah suggests that besides that, a person should have in mind, when a person comes to Rochza before the meal, a person can do certain actions which will make him chayiv in a nunatila. So we will talk about that when we get to Rochza. We do not make a bracha on this washing. This washing, we do not make a bracha. Many times a person makes a mistake and he makes a bracha. So if a person would mistakenly make the bracha on the netila for the karpas, a person should be careful to eat a kazayas. A person should not eat a kazayas in that situation, because according to all opinions, if a person eats less than a kazayas, there's no chiyuv to make a bracha on this netila. It would be a bracha lebatola. If a person would eat a kazayas, according to some opinions, a person would make a bracha when he washes for a kazayas. So at least in that way, it will not be bracha lebatola. After urchatz is karpas. Now, even though a person is not making a bracha, a person should not be masich das from the time that he washed until he eats the karpas. Preferably, a person should not have a conversation over there which we're going to let himself be distracted and lose his focus on keeping his hands in the proper level of Kedusha. So therefore, a person does not need to be quiet during that time, but a person would be preferred to be quiet, as a person should not get involved in what's known as Hesach Hadas. For karpas, what should the person use for karpas? So my suggestion is the person should use celery for karpas. I preferred an halacha that historically people use the potato because they did not really have fresh vegetables, but the Gemara refers to it as a vegetable, a yarok. So it has to be something which is green. Preferably, it should be something which is not raw. Which is raw and not cooked. So potatoes would not be the preferred option in that situation. Some people have a minute to use parsley. Parsley nowadays is going to be questionable because people do not eat parsley, and therefore the bracha probably is not hadama, it is shahakol. And since our goal is to make a bracha of hadama, we do not want to use parsley. So that leaves us, brings us back to celery. So a person is going to take the celery and dip it into the salt water. If this person is a person who's normally very careful to eat these type of things with a fork, he should not do so the night of the Seder. Because the idea is that since your hands are touching something which is wet, you need to wash your hands. Well, my hands are not going to touch it. Could be I don't have to wash. So it's better the person should be, this should be a finger food for the night of the Seder as opposed to any other time. The chachila, the piece that you take, should be less than a kazayas. It should be a small piece. This obviates the need to get involved in whether you need to say bracha chorna on the karpas. You said the karpas you ate it before the meal. You do not eat anything of that sort during the meal, theoretically. And maybe you need to say a brain of fashos afterwards. So you eat less than a kazayas, and there's no question that you will not make a brain of fashos. If a person did eat a kazayas, he still will not make the brain of fashos. When the person says the bracha of brei pri adoma on the karpas, so he should have in mind to for the morer as well. So he's going to have in mind not only for the karpas, the adoma, but the bracha will go for the morer, which he's going to eat later on as well. Do you eat karpas b'haseba? So this is an interesting question. The minhag is not to. The minhag is to eat karpas without haseva. Rav Chaim Brisker actually held that you should eat karpas with haseva, because the reason why we dip before the meal, the Gemara says, is because we are acting like royalty, where they can afford to have a snack before the meal. So we're acting like royalty, that we should eat it with haseva, and that would be the appropriate way to do that. But again, the minhag is not like that, Rav Chaim Brisker, and the minhag is not to eat it without haseva. After karpas comes yachatz. So a person has eaten his karpas, and we move to yachatz. So now, let's talk about the matzahs. So how many matzahs do we use for the night of the Seder? We use three matzahs for the night of the Seder. That is our minig. We put three matzahs here under our matzah cover. And we're now going to open it up, take out the middle matzah, we're going to break it into two pieces. The halacha is that the smaller piece should be at least a kazayas. So we want to be careful it's not that we break it not into one very large piece and one small piece, which is less than a kazayas. We want to break it in such a way that even the smaller piece is going to be left for a kazayas. We're going to eventually use this for the mitzvah of karech, or the mitzvah, the smaller piece will be used for the mitzvah of motzi matzah, for the mitzvah motzi matzah, and we want to have enough to eat a kazayas from the smaller matzah. So how big does this piece which we're going to use for motzi matzah, how large does it have to be? So it's a hard question to figure out how to measure translate a kazayas, which is volume, into a matzah. A matzah is not a very easy thing to figure out, the volume of a matzah. So there are three approaches to how to figure out the volume of a matzah. One approach is to crumble the matzah up, and then I can put into a cup based on volume. That's not so practical for us to do the night of the Seder. The second approach is to plasticize our matzah and see how much water it displaces. Also not very logical for the night of the Seder. The third possibility is, can we find a way to weigh it? Now, the shirim of matzah are shirim in volume. They're not shirim of weight. But even though they're shirim of volume and not of weight, maybe there's some way we can figure out the volume based on the weight. And that's what we want to see if we can do. Now, a person has a digital scale, which we're going to use. A person cannot use it by the Seder, obviously. A person has a mechanical scale. A person can use that on Yom Tov or Shabbos, even though normally you're not allowed to measure on Yom Tov or Shabbos. For the purpose of a mitzvah, a person is allowed to measure on Yom Tov or Shabbos. So we measured this before. We measured that the average matzah, hand matzah, where you get a matzah which comes 9 to a pound, the weight of the hand matzah is about 32 grams. 31-32 grams. So Rabbi Yosef understands that the shear of a kazayas is by weight, and he says that the shear is 30 grams, so basically one matzah would be your shear. That's quite large. And most of the person do not accept that calculation. For the mitzvah which we're dealing with over here, we're going to eat two kazayasim, one from the top matzah, one from the middle matzah. We can calculate a much smaller kazayas and use that for these purposes. For our purposes, this kazayas is going to be actually about 13 grams worth of weight. So we're going to break our matzah in such a way that we have about 13 grams. And if this will cooperate, there we go, grams. So here we have already, this is 21 grams. See, this amount over here is 21 grams, which is much more than we need. So you get an idea of what size we're looking for. And here we get 16 grams. And this is about the size that you're looking for. So a person wants to get a piece of matzah, which will look about that large. So that's the goal that we want. We have the smaller size should be about that large. And that we're going to put back in between our two matzahs. The larger piece is put away for the purpose of tzafun. And we now proceed from yachatz to magid. One last point about the yachatz. that if a person is limited on their shlemim, you could take a broken matzah to start with for the middle matzah, so you're not really breaking it by yachatz. It's already broken beforehand. So a person needs to do that. They're limited in their shlemim, so a person could do that. Even though the mitzvahs of the night, moving on to Magid, even though the mitzvahs of the night are, many of them are done with haseva, Magid must be done without haseva. Magid is the person is standing with Ema and Yira in front of his creator, talking to his creator, and so he sits with awe. Before the person starts Magid, the person will have in mind to become the mitzvah of Sipri Shiyas Mitzrayim, which is a mitzvah de'araisa. The Torah refers to matzah as lechem oni. And one of the explanations of lechem oni is lechem shenel onim alav dvarim harbe. It's a lechem which many things are set upon it, which Chazal understand that to mean that the matzah is there by the Seder, and we're talking about the matzah is there. Therefore, the matzah should be uncovered during the Haggadah. There are moments when we do cover the matzah. Whenever we pick up the kais, we cover the matzah. The similar idea which we have to by Friday night, and by we make Kiddush, that Friday night, Shabbos day, Yom Tov, that when the kais is being held, it's an element of, there's some element of busha to the lechem, so we cover the lechem. When we want to have the matzah on the table, so the matzah which you're going to use for the korah should be on the table. Three matzahs. But what about the fact that you have many guests and they're going to be eating matzah as well? So some suggest that not only all of the lechem we eat tonight has to be lechem only, has to be lechem which we spoke about. So all of the matzah which you're planning to use should be placed somewhere on the table. During Magid, a person preferably should not speak anything other than the Haggadah. The person should not be Mesir Das from the process of talking about the Haggadah. Women are chayiv in the mitzvah of Haggadah, just like men are chayiv in the mitzvah of Haggadah. Sometimes a woman wants to step out to just check on the food, see everything is okay. So what is the minimal amount that a person has to say to fulfill the mitzvah of Magid? So a person has to say, Avadim Hayinu Lefar B'Mitzrayim. That phrase is actually the Torah's description of what you're supposed to say the night of Pesach. The person obviously has to say that phrase of Avadim Hayinu. Then the person, Mr. Burr says that the person should say at least the 10 Makis, and from Rabbi Gamliel all the way till the second Kais. Gamliel says a person who did not say these three things by the night of the Seder, Pesach, Matzah, Marah, does not fulfill his mitzvah. From that phrase on till the end of the Haggadah, till the end of the second, till the second Kais, everybody should be saying that. It's important to have in mind that the Ikar Chiyuv of the night is the Hoidah to Kadosh Baruch Hu on the Geula, so it's not just saying the words, but it's feeling the words. Chai Vadim Lir Sadatza Kilo Yotzim Mitzrayim, a person has the obligation to feel the emotions, what it means to be, that Baruch Hashem has taken care of Klal Yisrael and given us our ability to leave Mitzrayim and to undertake to do the mitzvahs. After the person says Asher Golanu, the bracha at the end of the Haggadah, then you're going to drink the second cup. The person should not be mafsik between the Halal and Asher Golanu. The person should not be mafsik between the Asher Golanu and the second cup. So any messages that the person who's leading the Seder wants to impart about how to drink the cup, etc., a person should do that before the paragraph of Lefichach. Person says, Lefichach anachnu chayavim, because b'chol dor b'dor, Kadosh Baruch Hu has taken us out, and we feel that feeling. We have a responsibility to thank Hashem. And therefore we're going to say Hallel. We say the two paragraphs of Hallel. We say the bracha b'sher golonu. We drink the second cup, and we drink it b'haseva. A person should be careful to drink it b'haseva. Some Haggadahs have a hinei nimuchan mezuman before the second cup. Person preferably should not say that. He should just think it. He should not say that. That would be an interruption between the bracha v'asher golonu and the second drinking the Brei Pri Hagafen in the second cup. After Magid, we come to Rachsa. So we raised the question before that: can a person make a bracha asher kedushanu mitzvah v'tzivanu al netilas yadoyim, when his hands are really clean, because he washed beforehand, and he was washed beforehand, he's saying the Haggadah, he's saying Hallel, he's keeping his hands clean. So can a person honestly say a bracha over here? Is it not a question of a bracha l'batala? So one suggestion is a person should bring himself, the Bir Halacha says at the beginning of Siman Tafayin Hey, a person should create a chiyuv upon himself, so he can say the bracha without a doubt. How would he do that? He would scratch his head, place his hands on a part of his body which is normally covered, and therefore at that point in time, the Halacha says he must wash his hands for the meal, and he would be able to make a bracha. Any arrangements that a person is going to have for giving out moitzi, matzah, maror, and karech, preferably a person should do this before they wash, before they start making the brachas, to minimize the interruption between the bracha of a moitzi matzah and the people actually eating the moitzi matzah. Moitzi matzah. So a person is going to have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah of the Torah of eating matzah. So mitzvah tzrichas kavana is going to have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah. He takes all three matzahs in his hand. I'm going to take the cover off just so you can see better what I'm doing. But normally you would do this under your matzah cover. So a person's going to lift up all three matzahs. Now he's going to place his one hand on the middle matzah, and with the other hand he's going to hold the bottom matzah and the top matzah. So this way he's holding with one hand two matzahs, and with one hand he's holding the top one and the middle one. With the other hand, he's holding the top one and the bottom one. The reason why I do this is because when the person says the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem in Oretz, he holds all three matzahs. However, when he says the bracha of Alachilas Matzah, he only holds two matzahs. He does not hold all three matzahs. So he lets the bottom matzah drop. It's easier since he already had both matzahs, and his right hand he had the top matzah and the middle matzah. He had in his left hand the top matzah and the bottom matzah. He moves his left hand away, lets the bottom matzah down, comes back to hold the two matzahs now, the top matzah and the middle matzah. He says the bracha of al achilas matzah. Okay. When the person says hamotzi lechem in oretz, he's going to have in mind all of the members, the people which are eating there, that they're going to be yotze with his bracha. And he's also going to have in mind when he says the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem in Oretz. I'm sorry, when he says the bracha of Al Achilas Matzah, he's going to have in mind the other matzah he's going to eat that night, which would be the Karech and the Afikoman. So when the person says the bracha of Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvaso V'Tzivonu Al Achilas Matzah, he will have in mind for the matzah, for the Karech, and for the Afikoman. The person should not speak, because this bracha is going onto the Karech as well. The person should not speak until after he finishes eating the Karech. So now we're going to take our matzah and we're going to eat a kazayas. So the first night of Pesach, the kazayas is the mitzvah d'oraisa to eat a kazayas. So according to that, Mishnah Berurah says we have to be concerned about possibly that there's a larger share of a kazayas than we would normally assume. So how large does this kazayas have to be? Now, the next step which we have to remember is that there's a mitzvah to eat a kazayas from the top one and the middle one. That's the Rabbanan. So for that purpose, we can use a smaller calculation. So we can use a smaller kazayas from here, and a smaller kazayas from here, which will actually add up to be the full size kazayas which we need. To calculate that the size of the kazayas, according to the Mishnah Berurah, according to the way the Mishnah Berurah, the way the Chasid Ish understands what the Mishnah Berurah would say, so we're going to need approximately the weight of 25 grams worth of matzah. So, well, here's 33. So we can even do a little bit smaller than that. Still 33. So this is daiva hoser, the amount that a person would want to eat to be able to fulfill the mitzvah. This is actually 30 grams, which would even give you the shir, ravadis or safe shir. So this is the amount that we would be eating from the middle matzah and from the top matzah. That is definitely the shir. Now this halacha that you have to eat two kazesim only applies to somebody eating from the ka'ara. So somebody who's not eating from the Korah does not have to eat two kazesim. And therefore the second night, which is the Rabbanon, we do not need to be machmer on the larger shear. And the one who's saying the Agada will still need to eat the larger shear because he needs to eat two kazesim, but everybody else could eat the smaller shear. And they would just eat basically something of this amount. Actually, we could. This is a shear that we're going to use for Korech. This is the size we're going to use for Korech. This is the size we're going to use for the second night, even for Motzi Matzah, for the other Mesubim besides the Baal Agada. Now, this is talking about a Matzah, which comes about the weight of the Matzah. If we can get one Matzah over here, this Matzah comes about 9 per pound. So one matzah. Break it so we'll be able to see it. One matzah is weighing 55 grams. So when you have 9 per pound, that's about the weight you're going to get. So a person knows how much they paid for their matzah. They pay $2 a pound. The box holds 2 pounds. They count the amount of matzahs which are in the box. And they know approximately how many matzahs are per pound, and they get an idea if you're dealing with, which is something which is 9 per pound. So each matzah will weigh about some of the area of 55 grams, and this is the size that you're going to end up needing to eat for Korech, for Motzi Matzah the second night, and for Korech, and for the first, except for the second night, the one who has the Ka'ara will be having a larger shear. And the first night, we will be using a larger shear because we're dealing with the Deraisa, and that we mentioned, we calculated the shear before, was 25 grams. This calculation over here of this amount of matzah. Okay, the matzah has to be eaten by seva. And therefore, we will be reclining. And preferably, a person should actually be resting when he's eating the matzah, as if he'd be reclining on a couch. So a person could actually take off his hat and lean back and enjoy himself while he's eating the matzah. So that would be a fairly comfortable position to be in while the person is eating. We can approximate royalty by doing so. Okay, so a person takes a kazayas from each one and he eats it. Now, preferably you should try and break off the kazayas from the top matzah and the kazayas from the middle matzah at the same time. When you start eating them, you're supposed to eat them together as well, which means that considering the amount we're eating over here is not so large, a person theoretically could eat this over a short period of time. He should eat one kazayas, which we have from the top one, eat that and swallow it, and then eat another kazayas and then swallow it. A person cannot do that, which I find that to be difficult for most people to do. A person tries to put a large amount in his mouth, Shlomo Zalman said that's considered a chila gasa, you would not be yotze the mitzvah. So a person has a time frame referred to as kedei achilas pras. Kedei achilas pras, since we're dealing with the mitzvah deraisa, so Rav Moshe suggests that we should try and finish this in the time period of 3 minutes. If that's not possible, 4 minutes. The second night we'll be dealing with the mitzvah derabanan, so we can rely on the share of 5 minutes. So a person would have 5 minutes to finish off his kazayas. Now let's say a person is working with machine matzah. So machine matzah, one matzah weighs about somewhere between 30 and 32 grams. So if we're saying that he's going to be eating together area of 25 grams, so he basically takes 15 grams from the top matzah and ended up with 15 over here. This is 30, which is going to be daiva hoser for a person to fulfill the mitzvah. A person really could do That's 24. Okay. So that's approximately the size that a person will be eating for the first motzi matzah. This will be the size that a person is eating. The later shurim are going to be much smaller. They're going to be 15. So for karech, this is 16. So this will be enough for karech, the shear for karech. And again, for the second night, for everybody other than the one who's saying the agada, this would be the shear for motzi matzah as well. The next step is morer. So we're going to do the mitzvah of morer. What is the preferred thing to use for morer? The preferred to use for morer is romaine lettuce. There's always been hesitation with using romaine lettuce because of the infestation. So some brands of romaine lettuce in general actually come cleaner than others. If a person wants to use romaine lettuce, there is it's the process of cleaning it and checking it is not difficult. A person could take the romaine lettuce, put it into a solution of soapy water for a few minutes, agitate it around two minutes, take it out, put it under running water and rub your hands over it so that the running water, if there be any bugs there, they would be removed. And then the person then checks it against a light box to see if there's any indication of any bugs over there. If he checks, the amount he has to check three portions from that he would be eating. So on average, a person is eating maybe a few leaves. So he checks three sets of that. And if there are no bugs, it's considered muchzik that it doesn't have any bugs and he doesn't have to check anymore. The charois, the morer should be dipped in the charoisis. So a person would want to take his morer from the kara or other morer he needs to supplement and dip it into the charoisis. He should shake off the charoisis afterwards. You know, the goal is not to eat the charoisis, the goal is to eat the morer. Morer is the Rabbanim. Mashiach should come and will be zeichet to have the Beis HaMikdash, and morer will be part of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach and be the Raisa. But nowadays, morer is the Rabbanim, and therefore we can use a fairly small shear of morer. Now, in regards to the weight of morer, so Rabbi Bodner in his Sefer is able to actually give us a size of one leaf of morer, and that's the mitzvah of morer is one leaf of that size. It would be sufficient to eat, to use for morer. This is actually a little bit larger than a person would need. It's a little bit larger than a person would need. He does say if you have smaller leaves, I think if you look at the picture over here, you can see that basically our one leaf corresponds to his picture over here. So he suggests one and two-thirds of another one of this would be sufficient for the mitzvah of morer. If a person's using stalks, so just the stalk itself without the leaf, so he would have basically two of this size would be sufficient. If a person wants to do it by weight, so this is definitely sufficient for the shear for more of a person to use. If a person wants to use chrein, so chrein, you can measure it into a shot glass. So a shot glass is 1 ounce, which is going to be the equivalent of 29 cc's. That's much more than you need. A person needs... I'm sorry, that's the shear the person would want to use, which is 29 cc's, which is basically one fluid ounce. So one shot glass worth of ground grain would be the shear that a person would use for morer. The person makes the bracha, you should toivel the mor in the charoisis before you say the bracha. And therefore, to limit the interruption between the bracha and the eating. A person who says a bracha while achilas mor should have in mind for the karech as well. A person eats the mor, he should have in mind to fill the mitzvah, the rabbanon, of eating a mor. So we already mentioned the calculation of the size of our karech. So the karech, we're going to use this amount of morer again. We're going to use the smaller shear of for the matzah, and this is the amount of matzah we're going to be using. We make our karech, and we have our wonderful sandwich. We make the karech from the bottom. The minigs that make a karech from the bottom matzah. Karech has to be eaten by seva. Mor is not eaten by seva, but karech has to be eaten by seva, because this was the way that they would fulfill the mitzvah of eating the korban pesach and the matzah, which require haseva. So the mor is drawn along together with the matzah and the matzah and the pesach, and it's eaten by seva. There is a phrase in the Haggadah of Zecher LeMikdash Kehillel, which the Mishnah Berurah raises a question if it's considered a hefsek, but the minhag is it's not considered a hefsek, and a person would say that. We move on to Shulchan Aruch. A person should be aware not to overeat because he still has to do the mitzvah of afikoman, and he should not eat afikoman achilagasa, so he wants to make sure he does not overeat during the meal. There's a minhag, the Rama says, to eat eggs, and the Mishnah Berurah suggests you should eat the egg from the ka'ora, unless you would want to save it for the second night and then eat it then. The halacha is that we do not eat roasted meat, roasted chicken. However, a roasted egg is permitted, so a person can have his roasted egg. But we do not eat the zroya because we do not eat something which is roasted by the night of the Seder. But a person, the Chayyadim does point out, a person should not throw it out. A person should try and use it in some type of dish if he could. The definition of roasted for this purpose is obviously something which is roasted directly over the fire. A person is something which is called pot roast, also is considered roasted. It means if it's cooked in a pot without too much liquid, it's basically just its own liquid, even though it's cooked inside of a pot, it still has the status of roasted for this purpose, and a person should not eat that the night of the Seder. The Suda of the Seder is a Sudas Yom Tov. The halacha is a person, there's a din of Simcha by Sudas Yom Tov. So a person should have a revius of wine during the meal. So besides the second cup, the third cup, the fourth cup he's going to be drinking, he'll be drinking a cup during the meal, a revius of wine during the meal as well. Tzafun. So we come to Afikoman. Afikoman should be eaten before Chatzos. The charts tell you exactly when Chatzos is, and a person should complete the Afikoman before Chatzos. L'chadchila, preferably a person should use two kezesim by Afikoman, one which is Zecher LePesach, and one was Zecher for the Matzah, which was eaten together with the Korban Pesach. A person is not feeling well and he finds it difficult, could eat one kezias. Now, is afikoman the raisa or the rabbanon? If it's the raisa, we have to use a larger shear. If it's the rabbanon, we can use a smaller shear. So this actually is a machlokes in the Gemara, in the Rishonim, whether afikoman is the raisa or the rabbanon. But the Mishnah Berurah paskins that it's the rabbanon, and therefore we can use the smaller shear for calculating the afikoman. That being said, a person should have two kezesim. So we're going to create a shear for afikoman, which we're going to use the smaller shear of calculation, and we're going to double it, and it's still going to be a little bit smaller than our shear for motzi matzah. So even if we said that the chachilu for motzi matzah, we're trying to get a weight of 25 grams, for the purpose over here, we're going to try and get a weight of, let's see, 1 second. It's going to be 100. We're going to have the shear of going to be about 30, 66. It's going to be about some of the area of 17, 18 grams. So we find our afikoman that our child gave back to us. So this is the shear using matzahs, which are 9 per pound. This would be the shear a person would eat for afikoman lechatchila. If a person finds that difficult, so he can use the same shear which we used for karech before, which find that piece of matzah over here we used for karech before, which I think was these two. So it would be this amount for afikoman. If a person finds it difficult to eat the larger share, he could eat this amount for the purpose of afikoman. Afikoman has to be eaten bahaseva. A person should be very careful to remember to eat bahaseva because, according to one opinion, you're yotze b'dieved without haseva and you can't go back. According to one opinion, you must go back. So it creates this trend, this conflict. So a person should be very careful to make sure that he eats it bahaseva. Person should try and eat the shear of afikoman b'chtei achilas pras. And we mentioned before that shear would be preferably 3 minutes or 4 minutes. Okay, we come to borech, we come to benching. So the halacha is that if you use your kais during the meal to use it for the purpose of a kais mitzvah, you have to wash it out. So if the curses were left on the table and maybe some pieces of matzah, something like that got inside the cups, the cups should be washed inside and out before we use them for for benching. A person should not interrupt between benching and the bracha of Repri Gofen on the third cup. A person should have in mind when he drinks the third cup, he's having in mind to be yotze the mitzvah of the third of the dalet curses. Hallel. So we say Hallel. It's preferable to try and say Hallel in a responsive way. The psukim of Onna and the psukim of Hoidu, we should have the balabayas say and the family would respond. That works even if the family is a woman and children. As long as there's three people there, the husband, the wife, and a child, so the husband would say it and the wife and the child would respond. A person should not recline while he's saying Hallel. The third cup, We neglected to mention the third cup. A person should make sure that he drinks the third cup of Bahaseva. Again, it's going to be problematic. If he doesn't drink Bahaseva, he's going to have a question of whether he's mechuyev to go back and if he's allowed to go back. So a person should be very careful to drink the third cup Bahaseva. Then we finish off the shear. We say drink the fourth cup. We say and that has to be drank Bahaseva. We say the bracha achrona of Al HaGefen for all of the kosis that we drank. After we have what's known as nirtza. The ikir dinam nirtza, the person is b'chuyev to spend the night discussing Hilchos HaPesach and Nisit Mitzrayim and the Nisim Niflos, what Kadosh Baruch Hu did with us, until the point that he gets that he falls asleep. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden and his sitter points out if a person knows that his nature is that the next morning he will be falling asleep during davening and not davening properly because he doesn't go to bed, he should go to bed. And this way he'll be able to daven properly the next day. The halacha does say that a person should continue to discuss Yisrael Mitzrayim until sleep overtakes him. So if sleep overtook him in his chair, he fell asleep and he wakes up again, he fulfilled that halacha, then he can go to bed without a problem. What are you allowed to do after the fourth cup? Is a person allowed to drink anything? So the halacha is a person can drink water after the fourth cup. We want the taste of the matzah, the taste of the to remain in our mouths. So the dalet kosis we must drink. We drink them as well. Water does not affect the taste of the matzah, and therefore a person could have water after the Seder if he needs to have water. Drinking something which would be alcoholic, would definitely a person should not do. And something which does not has a minimal type of flavor, so Mishnah Berurah says tea without sugar or coffee without sugar is permitted. If a person would make it with a weak type of a flavor, he adds a little bit of sugar, would also be permitted, but not more than just a little amount. Anything which could be used as chamar medina, preferably, should not be used either, which does raise a question in regards to coffee and tea. So preferably a person should stick to water if he does not need to do anything more than that. And with that, we are hoping that we should be zeichet to mekayim the mitzvah of the mitzvahs of Haggadah, Matzah, Morer, and Hallel, and Haggadah properly. We should be zeichet to do it together with the Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim, Erech HaKodesh, B'mehera Bimeinu, Amen.